temptation that is, isn't it? Only our God could make that invitation to His people. Come just as you are. You don't have to improve yourself. You just have to come with a repentant heart. Put yourself in His hands and say, "Here I am, Lord, take me." And He does. Musicians, thank you so much, Stephen. I know you were wanted up in Wahpeton today, but thank you. I just pray that we would exalt His name. That's, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. That precious name above all names, name of redemption, name of salvation, name of grace, name of mercy. Oh, Father, how great a salvation you have extended down to us. And Lord, you have not left us alone. You have not left us to fend for ourselves. You have not left us to even go through the purifying process on our own. You are here every step of the way, just as you were with those children in the fiery furnace. You were there. You were there with Daniel when it looked like all hope was gone. You were there with Moses and the children of Israel, and looked like all hope was gone there. But you proved yourself. So it is today that you are here in this day, in this hour, at this time, to prove yourself to us. You don't have to rely on you. You don't have to fend for yourself. I'm here to take you through. I'm here to be whatever you have need of. And Father, we love you so much now. We'd like to just sit at your feet as you sing. To look at you and behold your beauty. To love you. With everything that in us is in us, say thank you, Father. Thank you. We give you praise, Lord. Now we just ask that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been spending a few weeks on the mystery of you, and I'd like to finish up, even though in my heart I want to go back to the Church of the Firstborn from Hebrews chapter 12, and I have more actually in my heart for that. But I wanted to at least finish this up. I just you look at you, and I'm praying that we see ourselves as the Scripture opened up in this last day for us to see ourselves in the light of God's Word, in the light of the revealed hour that we... Who am I? What does the Lord have for me? What's my purpose here? Which in a way we've been talking about for years, but focusing specifically because I know that there's a movement. But it's fine if you don't have to worry about being anything. And just you know how to who to listen to and who not to listen to. Nothing is said about what listening to or what the effect of that is on you or what it's supposed to be doing. But the prophet has made it pretty clear. Now, you know, Brother Branham says, talking about the bride and the remnant, He says, now a woman has some material, calls it sewing goods. For those of you who sew, you know exactly. You get your material laid out, and then what do? You lay your pattern over it, and then you start cutting. And so here is this amazing thing that the grace of God decides where to lay that pattern over, and he says, okay. He gets his scissors out, and he says, I've got to cut away every single thing that is not part of that pattern. So, and again, we feel that happening. We feel that God is in my life, and he said, well, no, that's not the pattern. That's got to go. That's not the pattern. That's not Jesus. I have to cut that away in a way that's the pictorial view of John chapter 15. He's going to prune away everything so that we can be more fruitful, but there it's more graphic. Well, I was in prayer yesterday, and I just felt so pressed to get into future home again. And I'm not necessarily going to read out of that because I've got more for going back next week, but he keeps bringing up the pyramid. And Enoch built that, you know. And we know these things, and yet something was quicker last night. The whole Bible is there. The whole plan of redemption. And you look, where am I? Who am I? What is the mystery of you? And if you're wondering, what place do I have? Does God love me? I'm anything. What am I? Am I anything? Am I? Well, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And like Brother Branham says, what more would you want to be? You're not trying to be anything else. But, again, where... If you have any questions, go to Revelation 21 and 22. Isn't it interesting? What's there? What's the last thing? What's the very last thing of the Bible? It's the New Jerusalem. Who's that? That's you. Well, that's the last thing in the whole scripture. Is you in your place with him, and he's over us. And we don't need anything natural. There's no natural light. It's all supernatural light. There's no light there but him, our God, and the Lamb. And there we are with him, glorified, and how he describes that. So beautiful. And I think, okay, it's like we've been trying to say through the scriptures we've been reading, it's all about you. What is the prophet for? You. Why did the prophet come? You. He needed to get to you. He needed to open your eyes. He needed you to see. He needed you to listen. He needed you to be changed, to become like him. Okay? Not just a little bit, but fully. Okay? And there's so many beautiful things that he's trying to bring to this light. If we can embrace them, it should take away all discouragement. Because if you have no purpose in your life, what am I? I'm just, I'm nothing. Well, I'm nothing too. I'm more of a nothing than you're a nothing. But he's everything, and that's all I care about. But you're called for a specific purpose for him. For him. Because he's going to look at you and say, look at what I did. He's going to say, there she is. There's my bride, as we're going to read again today, but it's also in the message. Christ, the mystery of God, you quoted it the other day, Stephen. There she stands in the splendor of him. Isn't she beautiful? Look what I did. That's Ephesians 1 again, to the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1:14, that we should be to the praise of His glory. We should be. We. Okay? Now, you look at the whole world and they sing and they love it and they worship and they love it, but what's the effect of what they sing and what they worship? They go out within and out any change. And what's the most beautiful thing of redemption? Is restoration. And who can take that back in the scripture and prove everything so beautiful, like the vindicated word of the hour, where he described it, where everybody else in the world say redeem, and they leave it right there and don't take it anywhere. Brother Branham says, no, that paid for it. There is, he's my redeemer, but what is he going to do? Redemption means what? At the cross? No. Redemption means what? And to go back. To go back. And we see it in Ephesians chapter 1 so beautifully. Back to our original condition in Jesus Christ. Our original position. You know, the whole thing is this incredibly beautiful love story. And it's Him. But on the other hand, something came to me last night as I was looking at this. I've been looking up the Jasper stone because that's what we're going to look like. Have you looked at that? Did you? What did you find out? Okay, but what is it? Describe to the people what a Jasper stone looks like, what it is. It's all different colors. They said it was green in the breastplate, but that again, that's nobody knows for sure. But you see the colors, and it's sort of, what? Describe it. Variegated. Lots of different colors in it, and it's earthy. It's sort of agate-y. Yeah. But here at Revelation 21, it says we're like Jasper. 21:11, having the glory of God in her light, was like unto the stone most precious. Most precious. Okay? Most precious, that goes beyond diamonds, doesn't it? And like a jasper stone, what does the last phrase say? Clear as crystal. Isn't that interesting? So, this is a purified stone. This, because this reflects our Father, because we know in Revelation chapter 4, he is to look at himself as Jasper. Revelation 21, there's the bride. What does she look like? She looks like her Father. She looks like, well, she's Jasper just like he's Jasper. And it's so beautiful. What? It's the work of his hands. It's all redemption. It's all tied into him. But if you notice, the Brother Branham goes in, look at the 12 foundations, our stones. And look at the 12 gates, the 12 apostles. But each apostle is represented by a gate of what? And a pearl really isn't a stone. What is it? From suffering. Isn't that the way in the entry? And I thought, there it is. It's beautiful. But the only way in that is through this world of fly bites and irritations and suffering. And I got to secrete this thing because this speck of sand is bothering me so much. And that's where the pearl is formed. We know that. But that's the gates. Oh, he's so beautiful, isn't he? So many beautiful things. I know we'll be spending eternity looking at all of these glorious things that he's doing. Now, I have a little thing that I want to say as we get going. We read out of the message identification from Tulare, California. Now, we were talking about the last time where he was trying to see our origins. Remember 1 Corinthians 15? As is the earth, such are they in character that reflect that nature of what they came from. And so are they that are heavenly will reflect the nature of the heavenly, the character of the heavenly. So I think that was the focus of our last time I was here, was this. Where's he taking us to? John chapter 1, 12 and 13. Those that are born not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. Well, which one of you weren't born by the will of the flesh in the natural? So he's taking us to say, come on, look beyond these things. Look beyond the natural. Look into the supernatural. And that's where we were reading into in this. He says, God, his thoughts is the Christian today. You're that thought of God expressed. Yeah. Isn't that just amazing? Mm-hmm. Okay, now if you weren't in God's thoughts when you come to the world, he's come in God's thoughts at the beginning to display his attribute. Do you follow me? Then Jesus came to break the clouds back so that the attribute could display itself. That's what he wants. That attribute of God in you to display itself. Amen. That's it. He's the expressed word. Now, nothing else could be manifesting because the other characters had all fallen, but he's taken you beyond the flesh. He's taken you beyond your natural birth. He says the other characters are fallen. Then you see when Jesus come to bring those back, those characters, no. They were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Now, isn't that mind-boggling? Those characters can't go back. But that's not your beginning. That's not your origin. Your origin is way beyond that, not of the will of men, not of the will of the flesh, but of God. So seeing ourselves as children of God, truly born out of God, truly coming from him, and he came as a redeemer, and to redeem anything is to bring it back. Now, you notice in the message, who is this Melchizedek? And he says, now this brings predestination into view. Can he redeem those that didn't come from? No, they were never there. Okay? He came to bring you back because that's where your origin was. That's where you started from. So that's why you feel the pull of the Holy Spirit to conform to the word. That's why all of a sudden you feel those scissors coming out and saying, ouch! Ah, that wasn't like the pattern, was it? It's got to go. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But who else do you see the Spirit of God working in those things but the bride of Jesus Christ? So here's this again. Now we're going into the quotes because we've got it. Well, gone into Scripture, even Ephesians chapter 3, and Jesse brought up some of those beautiful things last Wednesday night that we're going to be filled with some of God. It's not what he said, is it? The fullness of God. Isn't that what Brother Branham said also? Unveiling of God. Hear the invitation to be partakers of all that he is. Who's partaking in God outside of the relevant? Oh, I believe in Jesus. He died on the cross. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. It's done. Show me anybody outside of this message that's partaking, that's involved, and the Spirit involved in their life, and the Spirit working in them, and the Spirit doing these things. But we have these quotes, and we've gone through them so many times, so many years. Of adoption, what she is, and how Brother Branham says so many things. She'll be in the image. She'll be like him. She's going to be the manifested word. She's the word made flesh. All of these beautiful things. So again, ask the question, well, what am I supposed to do? And my focus isn't so much on doing as being, because you can't force yourself to do anything. Jesus didn't force himself to do anything. In fact, he didn't go out to do anything at all himself, right? Mm-hmm. Stop and think about it. He says, well, if the Father tells me to do it, I'll do it, right? Mm-hmm. If the Father shows me to do it, I'll do it. Otherwise, I won't. Why? I can't do anything of myself. That's what he said. So his focus wasn't, but his focus was on knowing who he was in his relationship with the Father. So, do I have to go out and do? No, I want us to concentrate. Who are you? Where did you come from? Who's your Father? What is your relationship with him? Do you hear him? Do you know his voice? Does he speak to you? Does he open his word to you? Does he reveal himself? Now, here is a thing in the same message identification I want to read to you. And he's speaking of Moses knew his position, okay? Moses had been thoroughly vindicated that he had the message of the Lord. God proved it in every manner. Same as this day, right? Just exactly what he said had to come to pass, and he told Israel, plumb back in Deuteronomy, way back in there, whatever these signs would be, you must follow and listen to it and hear what the word promised. He was made manifest. Now, still, Dathan, a smart leader down in Egypt, rose up and said there, you'll try to make yourself the only one that's got anything. Well, does the bride try to do that? Oh, Brother Branham, you're the only one? No, not at all. Are we trying to be little Brother Branhams? No, we never could be. He's had in his call. But listen to what he says. Let me read it again. Dathan, a smart leader down in Egypt, rose up and said, you'll try to make yourself the only one.